All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. April 24th, 2024, 42424. I think if you say that backwards, it is 42424. So, another one of them special days that'll never happen again. But I hope it is great wherever you are at. It's a beautiful day here on this side of the country. I thought I would sit down. I have had a lot of changes going on. Shut down the salon officially. It's over. Salon is shut down. Actually built a studio in my house. Might sound a little echoey. I do not have echo on my soundboard, but it's kind of echoey. But we'll work through it. I just thought I would sit down. Nothing serious here today. Nothing serious ever here. But I did want to sit down and see if I can put something out just to post it and see what it sounds like, because unfortunately every time I take all this apart, I have to put it all back together, and hopefully it goes back the right way. Meters look a little different. The lines look a little less. So I just want to make sure I'm not putting out some shit, but I think it'll be fine regardless. I'm excited to get the studio built in my house. That way I do not have to, for one, quit doing the podcast. I love doing this podcast. If someone listens to this podcast, I appreciate it. Thank you. It is a little bit of a... I don't even know what the word is, but it feels good. It feels good to sit down and chat and just get it all out and just sort of share what I go through. I've definitely had some people that do not like it, and I appreciate that as well. I understand. But, you know, I've also had a lot of people come up to say they really appreciate it. In fact, I've stopped doing the podcast, and I've had people reach out. So if it's just one, if I'm helping one person or at least shining a little light in the dark corner that none of us like to look at, then I'll keep doing it. And it is Wednesday. I'm off today. I can tell you this, in recovery, right? Sober as a judge, man. I have definitely been uncomfortable. A lot of change is going on. You know, one of the things about getting sober is we learn not to become a victim, right? I don't need to moan and groan about things, life-changing things that happen. It is what it is. Things move on. The ending of the salon, having to close that down, I really felt like I was at a pretty good place. I felt like I've done my time. It was definitely something. I know when I got sober, I wanted to join the crowd, right? And I think I've said this plenty of times, but I just wanted to be part. You know, when I went into drinking, I wanted to be part of that crowd. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be, you know, hang out with friends. I wanted to be funny. I wanted to be, you know, part of the group. And, you know, getting sober and leaving that group behind, the first thing I wanted to start doing when I got sober was join the workforce, right? And getting a job, obviously, was important. Staying sober clearly was important, but getting a job, and then I've shared how I immediately wanted to go to get my degree, right, in turf management. Turns out I hated that. Lot of lessons to be learned in that move, but I have no regrets. Got some education, had a great experience, got to be responsible, be accountable, and I got to pass a class that I'd never really, you know, I've shared, man. I wasn't ever great in school, so, you know, I had a goal. I went and I passed and got my degree in that field, and then just hated it, right? But whatever, right? It was all good. But I just wanted to be part of the working folks. And then the next thing was I wanted to be a business owner, right? And so opened that salon. And so at the end of 14 years, I'm closing it, and I have no regrets. It's been an amazing experience. I've had some ups and some downs, some scary moments, some really, you know, glorious moments, and everything in between. So it's been a great experience. And I was pretty cool with the idea of closing it down, I was okay until I closed it down, right? And then a lot of the memories flooded back. And, of course, I'm working at a new salon, and it's under their rules, which is great. I'm with that. But it's different. It's change. And I'm okay with it, but I worked my first day at the new salon, and it was a struggle. I was very uncomfortable. Nothing was the same. Being told, this is what we do here. This is what we need to do here. I had these things that I was using. They didn't like it there, right? They don't like this. They don't like that. And that's that's what happens when you go work for somebody, right? That's part of that. And so yesterday was difficult. I'm still there, right? These are good friends of mine. I am absolutely willing to accommodate whatever they need from me, because honestly, I'm grateful that I even have a place to go and work. So, but my first client didn't make it because she couldn't find the place. And of course, all these feelings of fear and insecurity and whatever it is come rushing back. And it's just, you know, it was a bit of a rough day. But once my first client finally got there and I kind of got back into the swing of things and working, and yeah, I started to feel better. But man, you know, I told myself, this is no big deal, man. You did good. 14 years, no big deal. It's all good. But I tell you what, man, as soon as I started working at some other place, all those feelings came back, and I just had to hold on for dear life yesterday. Disarm by Smashing Pumpkins. Great song. Yeah, so it's been an interesting few days. Starting to get back into my groove, though. I'm off today. I think part of the problem also is that I'm dealing with a lot of unfinished business. You know, the salon that I've had is in shambles, all torn apart. And really, I think that's the other part of it, just tearing shit off the walls. You know, I had all these custom stations built, custom wood, custom shelving, pedicure chairs. I spent a lot of money through the years building a lot of great stuff, and I'm just having to tear it down. And that doesn't feel good. And I really don't have anything to do with it, and I want to save it, but I'm also trying to minimize the clutter. So, you know, we're just having to throw a lot of stuff away, and that hurts. It hurts, and it's a bummer. And but you know what? Life moves on. And, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to move on and enjoy myself. So that's what I've been going through. But I tell you what, man, I couldn't do any of this if I didn't have this program and I wasn't sober, right? And I didn't have a lot of great friends. You know, one of the things about sobriety and living that good life is we build up a lot of great relationships, right? And, you know, my buddy Rick and his buddy Tony, they're helping me tear everything out. You know, I was able to pay them, right? I have actually money. They appreciated it. It's just, you know, sobriety. You know, coming into the program and, you know, early on, sobriety was not drinking, right? Not drinking, not fighting, not getting caught, right? Not getting a DUI, not being on probation, you know, all of those things. But if we hang in there long enough, life really does get better, and it's pretty freaking awesome. And so just a lot of gratitude today, a lot of gratitude. You know, I don't even know if I want to talk about this, but I'm going to. It is a, you know, I got a phone call yesterday from a buddy of mine who is a friend of mine who I've been friends with for a long time. And I really got chewed out yesterday. Chewed out. And I got chewed out because of my serenity, really. I mean, and this has been brewing. This little thing has been brewing. I've talked about it in this podcast. You know, people talking about gurus, and, you know, I shared about the other day about, like, if someone hasn't worked a program and they are encountering or listening to or interacting with a person who has worked a program, worked the 12 step, worked with the sponsor, put in the time, right? All that stuff, and come out on the other side. Those people sound like gurus. And unfortunately, and I don't want to feel bad about this because I've done a lot of work, right? But I live in a place of peace today. And this isn't how it has always been. This isn't how it's always been while I've been sober, right? There's been a many of years where I've, you know, not drank, gone to a lot of meetings and been dry, right? Just sort of going through the steps. And I don't mean just the book. I mean, like, walking, right? Getting to these meetings and putting in the time and, you know, still struggling with the battle of self. And at some point, and really it's just happened in the last few years, I've started to have this real change, right? This fourth dimension, right? The third, whatever dimension it is. But this real revelation of this battle between the devil and God, right? And so I was at this meeting on Monday, and it was on the 12th step, and I shared this, you know, just how grateful I am and how the person that came into this program, however long ago it was, to the person now in this relationship with God and my shining a light on how much fear has dominated my life and just all of it. And, you know, just so grateful and blessed. And I found something new and I want to share it. And I don't want to share it like I know it all, right? Because I do not, right? But I am just full of gratitude. And, you know, I was watching something the other day and this guy was talking about how God speaks through him, right? And I'm like, well, you know, I feel like I'm having the best relationship right now with a higher power than I've ever had. But am I spoken to by God? And I'm not, right? Not like I thought I would be, right? Not the God that I was searching for as a kid, you know, hey, Tom, what's going on, right? Never happens, right? But what I've learned, right, is as a byproduct, right, of working these steps honestly, right? That's the work, the honesty. Working these steps honestly, right? Really trying, really wanting this. And, you know, you got to be careful too how much self really wants this. But, you know, just doing the time and finding this place of, you know, free of fear, right? And I was trying to explain this and being free of fear, being in this peaceful place, right? And then when a character defect or a shortcoming creeps back into my life and I lose that, is it God talking to me or is it me searching for finding that peaceful place again, right? And, you know, God talked to me and probably said, stop doing your character defects, right? Stop doing that. Clear that up again, and you can have this relationship with me again. And the problem was at the meeting, I said, you know, I don't believe in God. And I do not believe in the God that I grew up with, right? This punishing God, this, you know, the definition of a God for me was, you know, I ask and I will receive. Don't do anything bad or you go to hell. And oh, by the way, if you ask for forgiveness before you die, you can still go to heaven. And I was like, yes, right? That's God in a nutshell for young Tom. And the problem is I took that God into my journey and just kept looking for it, right? Around every corner, am I ready? Am I ready to have this vocal conversation with the Lord? And the problem is I focused so much on that I wasn't realizing this other miracle that was taking place in this freedom, this peaceful place, free of fear. And, you know, but I said in the meeting, and then I also talked about that I'm not afraid today, right? My buddy Matt used to tell me, I am not a victim and I am not afraid. And I used to go, what the hell is he talking about, right? But I get it today, right? I'm accountable for everything that goes on in my life, and I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. And I don't believe in God. And what was the other thing I said? Oh, right. And I talked about how my buddy Matt used to say, listen, if someone dies, and I don't think I said this on the meeting on Monday. I said it another night, but apparently it caught this guy, didn't forget, right? And I said that, you know, if you make... You have 3 days to mourn the loss of somebody, and then everything after that, you're making it about yourself. And I know that sounds harsh, but what it meant, what I'm understanding today is it doesn't mean that you can't miss. Like yesterday was my mom's birthday. My mom died. It's been 2 years now. I miss her every day, right? I think about my mom. I used to call my mom every day. And, you know, I've come a long way, but I don't have to be a victim of my mom's death, right? I don't have to say, hey, you know, it's been 2 years, 3 days, and 70, you know, minutes, whatever. I don't have to live like that today. I can miss my mom. I can be cool with my mom being gone, but I don't have to be a victim of my mom. And that's really what I think what Matt was saying. But this guy's like, he called me and he laid into me big time. And the problem is this guy's got like 25 years, right, of sobriety, maybe more. And unfortunately, he's sort of dry. And I told him, I go, listen, I don't believe in God. And what do you care? Right? Why do you care whether I believe in God or not? I'm the one that's going to have to go to hell, right? If this is the mistake, right? I'm the one that has to go to hell, not him. So what is he worried about it for? Right? And then he's like, you know, a lot of people out there, you're sitting there telling people that you don't believe in God, you know, that's offensive. And once again, right, it's not that I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God that I grew up with, right? I don't believe in that punishing, you know, God. I believe in this new relationship with God once I've done all the work, right? So it's my, but once again, why does it matter to him, right? And I told him, I go, you know, man, if you would just work a program. What do you mean work a program? I work a program. I go, well, if you worked a program, bro, you would not be calling me, right? You wouldn't be yelling at me about this. It's first of all, none of your business what my life is, right? I'm just sharing. I'm just excited. I'm just happy to be, you know, in this place. And I guess it just aggravates him, right? It just aggravates him. And then he's like, by the way, you know, your buddy Matt, he used to be, you know, he said that, you know, you don't have to, if you mourn after 3 days, I can tell you right now, Matt used to be an arrogant son of a bitch sometimes. And I was like, once again, what does that have to do with anything? He's like, well, my wife died and I miss her every day. And I go, that's not what I am saying, right? That's not what I am saying. You should miss your wife. I understand. The point is that do you have to be a victim of it, right? Or are you a volunteer, right? And it just was weird and it's unfortunate. And, you know, I told him, I go, you know, you're very sarcastic to me. And you, I go, first of all, I go, how long have we known each other? He's like, I don't know. I remember when your hair was short, right? Or whatever. And I go, you and I have been friends for 25 years. 25 years him and I have been friends. And we've been good friends. But he is the exact same person I met 25 years ago as he is today. Right? He's that guy that will read every single book, philosophy book, poet, whatever it is, but he won't do the big book or he won't work the steps. Right? He'll quote anything out of any book, but he can't quote anything out of the big book. And that happens a lot, right? And I'm only talking about this because it, you know, it was disturbing to me because this is what happens is immediately I'm like, well, because after, you know, we talked and I said, listen, man, you know, it's none of your business what I do in my life. You don't need to worry about it. I mean, we're friends, but why are you aggravating yourself? I do not know. Basically, I said, you need to work a program, right? But I said, I still love you. And, you know, we sort of ended it at that and we're fine. But what happens is now, right? And, you know, and if I'm going to be kind of weird, right? You know, this is just like that another devil coming at me, right? Telling me, oh, you know, because he's, you know, in the way that I try to share, I try to incorporate the steps and I try to talk about how I've evolved, right? And the highs and the lows, but this place where I finally come out and I never expected it and it's amazing and I try to you know share in the most humble way using the steps and you know I'm not a guru but he's like you know you the way you talk you just talk down to all of us and I don't you know and I would never want to do that right I am absolutely here to help and share my experience, strength, and hope. But I always say, work the steps, work with another sponsor. Don't listen to me. Figure it out on your own, right? If you don't like what I'm saying, turn it off, right? If you think I'm a guru, ignore me, right? But I'm not. I don't want to be, and I've never tried to be. But I have started to come into that third or fourth dimension, right, where you start to realize the world really starts opening up and you really start living in the day. And it's pretty freaking awesome. And so, but, you know, now I'm like, you know, do I want to share, right? First of all, like, I'm not going back to the meeting. Here comes these negative thoughts creeping back into my mind. You know, the devils, little demons come scurrying into the room, right? We're not going to go to the meeting. And if you're going to go to the meeting, we're not going to share. Or I'm going to share and I'm going to talk about it in the meeting or whatever it is, right? But it's just these little things that try to separate me once again from this program. And that doesn't have anything to do with drinking, right? This is just, you know, one of the things that I've come to the conclusion is this is really a spiritual battle, right? And I'm not, like I said, I'm not the guy that believes in God. I don't believe in angels, right? I don't believe in devils. But my God, this is, it's real, right? It's a spiritual malady. And I can absolutely see myself getting caught up in, because my first thought is, well, I'm not going back to the meeting. That's it. Fuck him. And that's what this disease wants. Don't go back to that meeting. Don't go to any meetings. In fact, you don't even need a sponsor, right? So the first thing is I call my sponsor, right? And then a buddy of mine called me today. He's looking at buying a bike or something. And I said, do you mind if I chat with you for a minute? And he's like, no, yeah. And I just shared with him. He's like, you know, this is, and he goes, by the way, I appreciate everything you share. This is my friend who was like, I got one day I woke up, I didn't need a drink. I started coming to meetings. I don't even need these steps, right? I don't really even need this stuff. But I started sharing this real journey that I've been on and this how the doors have started to open up and the lights started coming on. And it's all because of working the steps of the 12 steps of this program. And the gifts start coming in. And then he started to become interested. He's like, maybe there is more to this. And so now he is looking at doing a good fourth and fifth step, right? Working on his sixth and seventh step, really going through that. And, you know, I told him, and I was trying to explain this to my wife, you know, I've said this before, but it's such a simple comparison. But like, if I'm going to drive across this country, right, if I'm going to start my life over, right, if I'm going to drive across this country, I'm going to make sure my car is in its best shape, right? I'm going to check the tires, right? I'm going to check the electrical system. I'm going to check the fuel. I'm going to check the fuel lines, all this stuff. I'm going to get service and I'm going to get it in its best shape so that I can make this journey. And that's, to me, what these 12 steps do, right? We go through the checklist of all the broken parts and all the debris in the back seat and the shit in the trunk, right? We start emptying it out and cleaning it out. And then we start to really, you know, there's nothing better than when you clean out your car, you know, if you've had that, you know, that car that hasn't been really cleaned for like a couple months or a year, I don't even know, and it gets cleaned out and how freaking good we feel. Right, it's the same thing with these steps, man. We clean out our life, and then we start fresh, right? And we don't have to be that same person again. And so, it was interesting. You know, it bums me out because, you know, this is a good friend of mine. And why you pour my tea out? Oh, the other thing is, I'm doing this podcast now in my house, so my kids are coming up the stairs and whatever. But it bums me out, man, because he's a good friend of mine. And I just wish, you know, because we've been doing this together, and I wish he was experiencing the same thing that I am experiencing, you know. And, you know, there's not much I can do. But I did, you know, I did tell him at the end of the whole thing, I said, and by the way, man, I love you, right? And I was proud of myself because I really, in the past, I would have let him have it. And I tried to be humble, and I tried to be considerate and kind, and have a decent conversation, and, you know, I felt like I left the conversation, and I don't have any amends to make, right? But I did feel like calling him today and see if he wanted to have coffee, right, and reach out, and, you know, this is where, you know, I feel like I need to reach out and make more contact with him and see if, you know, maybe we can work the steps together. I don't know, right? I think if I asked him that, he would probably be offended. But, you know, that's the move that takes me back to the peaceful place, right? The move where I say I'm never talking to him again keeps me out of the peaceful place. I shared the other day, and this was funny because I had to make an amends at to the Panera lady. That was my only enemy, right? I'd gotten pissed. I'd become arrogant. I made comments, and yeah, it was probably justified. I don't know, but it kept me out of that peaceful place. And one of the great things that I love about being sober and working a program is that I don't have to look over my shoulder, right? I don't have to worry about what's in the mailbox. I don't have to worry about a text. I don't have to worry about email, right? I know everything I've done is on the up and up, right? And the only issue I had was with the lady. And I think I talked about it in this. I told her, I go, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have never said that. I have a lot of respect for what you do, and I hope you can forgive me. And she was like, absolutely. I don't even know if she remembered me, right? But I did it. And I kept my side of the street clean. And you know, I don't know. I don't even know if I should have talked about that. But this, I guess it's really just about reminding myself that, you know, the devil comes in interesting ways, right? And I knew that him and I had an issue, even though we're good friends, because I would hear these comments like, oh, we got to watch out for these gurus, right? And, you know, and then I started not wanting to share, and I've been talking about it. And then to get the phone call, right? I got a chewing out by an elder. And, but I talked, like I said, I talked to my other friend. He's like, dude, you do great, right? I don't find any of that, anything you share, offensive. In fact, after I shared on Monday, this lady came up. She goes, I really appreciate what you said. I really like what you share. And I was like, thank you. You know, I said, God can come in mysterious ways. And, I do believe that to be true. So, my son, I don't even know what he's talking about. Let's see if I can read the daily reflections, and then I am going to try to post this and we'll see what happens. I hope the volumes are all right. If not, I'll just take it down. All right, today, learning to love ourselves. April 24th, alcoholism was a lonely business, even though we were surrounded by people who loved us. We were trying to find emotional security either by dominating or being dependent upon others. We still vainly try to be secure by some unhealthy sort of domination or dependence. Yep. As Bill sees it, page 252. When did my personal inventory, I found that I had unhealthy relationships with most people in my life. My friends and family, for example, I always felt isolated and lonely. I drank to dull emotional pain. It was through staying sober, having a good sponsor, and working the 12 steps that I was able to build up my low self-esteem. First, the 12 steps taught me to become my own best friend. And then when I was able to love myself, I could reach out and love others. And that's right. My buddy used to say, you know, I came to a program that loved me until I learned how to love myself. And I believe that to be very true. And, you know, I don't know. Hey, I hope everyone has a great day. Hang in there, you know. Watch for them skateboards, right? Watch for them banana peels, because they come out and they look weird and they look different and they seem safe. And next thing you know, you're on your ass, and that is never good. Have a great day. Later.